Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is Barbara Hetzel, and welcome to Life Coach Chat here on the Life Coach Radio Network. Today's episode is called Seasons of Life and Seasons of Change, and I hope that you're really excited for a great show. I know that I am. Once again, my name is Barbara Hetzel, and I am the founder of a company called Ridgetop Coaching. It's a life and leadership firm, and I specialize in engaging leaders in developing and expanding their skills and talents for the world. I have some areas of expertise in leadership development, effective communication, process development, and I just love to work with people to help them grow in their knowledge and be able to implement the change that they want so that they can have greater success in their life and in their work. And once again, I'm very happy to be here with you today. I'd also like to introduce my fellow host today, who is Veronica Taylor, and I'm going to have Veronica introduce herself to you.
Good morning, everybody, and down here at the West Coast. Again, my name is Veronica Taylor, and I am the founder of Life Leaders Coaching and a creator of a three-step program, which is Discover, Grow, and Sustain. And my clients are women who are in search of fruitful relationships, more mindfulness in their life, purpose and direction by cultivating their leadership skills. And I am very honored to be with you today, Barb, and discussing this great, rich topic we have today.
Thanks, Veronica. Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty timely for us and for also our listeners today. And if you are a listener, I would like to invite you to participate. You can do that two ways. You can either do that through the calling in on a phone number, and the phone number is 646-716-9397. Let me give you that number again. It's 646-716-9397. And there's also you can log in to the chat room on the computer, and you can join us there too. So we're happy to have you participate in any way you want. So we're looking forward to that. So let's kind of get the conversation started a little bit. It's incredible to me, but it's hard to believe that the unofficial end of summer is around the corner. I know summer doesn't officially end until, you know, third week of September. But it seems like when Labor Day rolls around, everything seems to shift. You know, the kids start going back to school. If you're a commuter, you run into more school buses on your way, and you give yourself an extra 5 or 10 minutes. Vacations are over for the most part. The amount of daylight gets less and less. You know, the day is still 24 hours, but less of those 24 hours is bright. And I'm even starting to notice that the leaves on the trees are starting to change. And naturally, when all of those like, you know, cues, visual and environmental cues happen, I start to naturally think that, wow, the seasons are changing. And here, you know, the earth is in another cycle. And, you know, we're all in our new cycle, you know, with, you know, getting back to our jobs, not that we left them for very long, but September seems to do that for people. And here we are at the, you know, the 30th of August. And I guess I just, you know, would like to start the conversation, you know, with you, Veronica, and also with any of our listeners that want to call in, is like, how do the changes in the seasons impact you and the people you talk to?
Yeah, from my observation, I think that the changes of the seasons, personally for me in the past, I've always considered summer to be the fun time of the year. The sun is out, it's warm, you go to the beach, you have picnics, you're out with friends, you barbecue, and that's usually what the whole basis of what summer meant to me. And then obviously the fall and winter would be the total opposite of that. So I noticed for many, many years that my moods really did change according to that. Now that I've gotten a little older and obviously take a little bit more in consideration of what actually happens to me or for me as I'm experiencing those things, I've learned that really what it is just a frame of mind. And that the seasons do somewhat do dictate our mood, With the sun, obviously, we get more vitamin K and we're out and we, you know, obviously get energized by that. And it's a little different in the winter and in the fall. But even with that, I think mostly percentage-wise, I think it's maybe about 70% of that is all in our heads and what we feel seasons mean to us. And throughout the years, I really have taken in consideration of how is it affecting me and how much control do I really have about how I feel about it. And that really has shifted my thought about what fall and winter means to me. And I take more appreciation for every single season and what happens in my life during those stages and those periods. So I think it's really interesting, and I think it's a great thing for people to think about is, What does the seasons mean to you, and what thoughts or feelings or emotions come about as you're going through these seasonal changes? Because that will definitely dictate the way that you act out on a daily basis.
Yeah, I agree, Veronica. I really do. I agree with you in that sense that it's, you know, it really is about a mindset and how you really begin to think about, you know, just shift and changes in your life. And when there is an environmental change, you know, like the change of season, and I recognize, you know, it's different. You know, I'm on the East Coast, you're on the West Coast. I'm sure it looks very different to each of us in our environments. But, you know, you do sense that shift and you do sense that change. I often think that it's a great opportunity for that's kind of built in, that's built into the year, that it does give us a chance to kind of step back and look at, you know, what has changed for me? How have I changed? You know, what else in my life do I want to change? As well as, you know, just pay attention to what happens to you, like you're talking about, when the seasons do change. And, you can feel, you know, people out there can really feel more lethargic, or they could feel a little bit more depressed, or, you know, or blue, you know, all those seasonal affective disorder kinds of things that happen to folks, you know, seasonally. So I think it's, you know, I think it is the mindset piece. I also think it's the opportunity to reflect on four times a year, maybe, you know, we get this chance to reflect on how things change in our lives, and, you know, what we want to do, and how we relate to those changes, either positively or negatively.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with what you're saying, and I think that really brings up a really good point, which is something that I work on a daily basis with myself and also with my clients, and that's the mindfulness piece of, and how to incorporate that in our lives. Obviously, seasons do change, and there's a purpose for that. There's a beginning, and then there's the end. And I think what's really important to understand, and I'd love to invite and remind our listeners that's the universe giving us the invitation of mindfulness. And that is being loving and compassionate for ourselves and others in that present moment. And we tend to forget about doing that for ourselves and for others because we're moving so quickly constantly, right? And before we know it, the seasons are here and then now it's gone. And I think it's really important for us to really set an intention for ourselves and ask ourselves, what experience do I really want to have during this time of the year? What does that mean to me? And how can I be more present so that I can appreciate it once it's gone? Because obviously where there's a beginning, there's an end. And the end doesn't have to be considered as something negative. It's just a cycle of something new and prosperous coming your way. However, are we mindful and present enough to really acknowledge it and hold on to it? Not so much. So I think that that's a great way for us to re-energize ourselves as well. I mean, a lot of people feel all this stress, but that's because they're moving so quickly that they have no chance to actually take in what they're doing or what they're experiencing. So mindfulness is a huge key for those of you listening out there. If you're experiencing that stress, what can you do to help yourself with that? It would definitely be the mindfulness piece of it.
Yeah, absolutely, Veronica. And the thing that came to my mind as you were speaking, the thing that started to bubble up for me is that a lot of times in our work life, you know, we might be asked to, you know, look at you know a new project or a new venture, and we start to you know write down the pros and cons. These are all the reasons that it would you know be wonderful, and these are all the obstacles that kind of come in the way. And I think when you're talking about you know the mindfulness piece and being able to be present to that, I think you know I think journaling is a great method to use, or if you don't like to write, you know, record something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great way to, first of all, keep things in your mind that you really want to, that you've identified as important to you. And it's a great practice to really work at seeing the patterns in your life. And I know for myself, you know, I've been a big journaler for many, many years. I have volumes and volumes and volumes, and I even have it in my will that they have to be destroyed, that they have to be destroyed, you know, because, you know, God forbid, you know, that somebody uncovers all this, you know, my deep, dark secrets. But it is such a great practice. And I find for myself that when I spend the time to journal, and it doesn't take a lot of time. You know, it's 15 minutes, whenever in your day, morning, afternoon, evening, whatever is best for you, that when I discipline myself to do that, I find that solutions to concerns of mine come up more quickly. Mm-hmm. I am able to see my patterns, see what's going on, and journaling kind of helps you take a step outside of yourself. And so I find that when there's opportunities for, you know, the pro-con kind of thing, journaling helps me to kind of say, okay, so what's creating the funk, or where are the possibilities in this? And that, I think that's a great kind of tool to have. If that's you know if that could you know could help somebody, I don't know if you have other tools that you might use.
Well, I'm a huge fan of journaling. I've done it just like yourself since I can remember, and I have hundreds of them. And I do agree with the fact that just contextually, as you are writing things out, I've learned that I'm learning about myself as I am writing it, just because I'm putting it out there. And for me, it's also has helped me as an accountability tool as well, because once it's in black and white, I feel like you have ran it into the universe and now it's out there. Also, for me, I think what really has come out through the writing is that I have found through rereading my journals of the patterns, like you said, but more importantly, as I go back, then I start to realize what the triggers are of these patterns. So I think it's really important to obviously write, and you don't have to do it for a long period of time. Just do it, and it could be 5 minutes. But go back and revisit your writing, because I think there is so much value in there, and there's so many different pieces of information that we may not even realize that they're there unless we go back and re-reference it. So for me, I've learned that what the triggers are, the things that at that moment created some kind of turmoil or a negative action or reaction or feeling or emotion within me. And that's something that can help us grow. Another great tool that I really love and suggest is meditation. And I know that for a lot of people, it's something difficult to do. And it was for me in the beginning as well, because for me, for many, many years, I was very much in my head. So being able to stay still for 2 minutes was excruciating painful. But just like working out, you have to start these things very, very slowly. So I suggest 2 minutes, 3 minutes, even if 2 minutes is too much, just find a place of stillness, a place that you enjoy, and just breathe in and breathe out, and just concentrate on your breathing, and you will feel a tremendous amount of release and just feel good about what it is that you're experiencing in that moment and letting it go. So I suggest mindfulness with your meditation practice. Try to incorporate that into your life slowly, and definitely the journaling. And if you're not a writer, you don't like to write, I mean, like you said, record yourself. A lot of people have journals online now where you can record, and it's private. You have passwords. It's probably even more private than it is to have an actual journal. So there's no right or wrong way of doing it. It's just about finding what works for you. The important key is to always remember to give yourself that space of stillness that you deserve to recharge yourself.
Absolutely, and the other thing that's nice too, if somebody is really kind of contemplating getting into meditation, and you really are looking for someone to help you with that particular practice, there's a lot of meditation groups out there on Meetup, and if people want to look up Meetup on Meetup.com and look in their area to see where there might be some meditation groups. And everyone that I've ever known of has always been more than welcoming of people that are brand new to that practice, and it's called a practice for a reason, because you're always a student, you're mm-hmm. always in a place where you can learn something different about your own method. About how to quiet your mind and how it's going to be beneficial to you in whatever walk of life, and particularly in our topic today, talking about how we navigate those seasons of changes, that happen in the everyday. I just want to invite our listeners, if they are interested in calling in, the number again is 646-716-9397. Once again, that call-in number is 646-716-9397, and we would welcome additional voices to our conversations. One of the interesting things, and you touched on this when we first started our conversation, Veronica, and you were talking about how when the seasons shift and people can be, can tend to be a little bit, bluer or, feel like a little bit more, I don't know what the word is, sad, I guess, that happens to people. And I noticed that, that in our environment, not our natural environment, but like the environment of our everyday, I'm seeing Halloween decorations up already. Mm-hmm. And I know that the holiday decorations are not far behind, So here it is, August 30th, they're selling candy corn in the grocery store. And I wonder what it is, because so much, it kind of like the commercialization or the marketing of all of those different products rushes us into a season, rushes us into a change. And I wonder what it is. Maybe you have some thoughts on this. What are some of the things that we might be able to do that can help to slow it down a little bit, besides the things we've already talked to, and bring some of that sense of celebration back into those. I almost want to call them markers of change. We all talk about, okay, here's Labor Day. Okay, then here's Halloween. Okay, then there's Thanksgiving. And then there's all the December holidays, whether it's, Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or Christmas. And then there's Valentine's Day, and then there's St. Patrick's Day. And it kind of goes on and on. We have all of these different markers in our calendar that, tell us, okay, celebration time. But how do we embed a whole idea of celebration in the dailiness of change and the dailiness of our seasons, and how can we kind of slow down, maybe it's two questions here, but how can we kind of slow down that the whole idea that we're rushing right to the next holiday, we're rushing right to the next thing, and we lose, it's like, it just seems there's not enough chance to pause and really savor and recognize those markers in our life, I think the same thing happens, you know, with events, you know, a marriage or a death or a birthday or an anniversary. You know, we rush with whatever it is that we're doing, and then we're on to the next thing. So I know that's a lot of, those are a lot of thoughts floating around in my head today, but maybe you could bounce off of one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said about the decorations already popping up all over the place, what comes up for me was this, it was a bumper sticker that I saw in a car years ago. I was probably like 13 or 14. And what it said was, "I'm not in your rush." And I just loved that bumper sticker, and it really made an impression on me, and I never forgot it. And I made a decision that day to live by that. And I got a lot of flack for it for many, many years, and I still do, because I don't fall under anybody's rush. Some people value doing every holiday. I have friends who throw parties for every single one, and their house are decorated by each holiday of the year. And I'm like, my God, how do you keep it together? One. Two, how do you store all this stuff? I'm like, goodness, I can barely store my Christmas stuff. And you got Halloween, you got Valentine's, you got all kinds of stuff. I can't keep up with her. And for her, she loves it. She seems to love it because she keeps doing it. However, for me, that doesn't work. I can only handle Christmas, and I'm completely okay with that. And that's what I invite people to really think about. You know, why? What is the purpose of you following through these trends? Does it really make sense in your life? What is the meaning for it for you? If you can't really answer those things and you feel like you're just moving on from one thing to the other, then that tells me that you're potentially off balance. So I always tell people to consider what is the purpose and meaning for you and how does it work or manifest in your life. So for me, Halloween, you know, it's fun. It's happening around me, but I'm not going to go and spend money on every single holiday. I'm just not going to do it. It's not for me. So like I said, just stay within your means and what is important to you. And I think that would be my advice to anybody out there.
I think that's great. I think that, you know, I think one of the important things that to remember and you know, you're communicating that today is that there's no judgment there. You know, if you are really into the holidays, oh, by all means, you know, celebrate them in whatever way feels good for you. And if it's not, if that's not who you are, if that's not the actions or the, you know, the participation that you want to have around all the different holidays, then that's okay too. And it doesn't matter. You know, that's the beauty of humanity. You know, that we're all different, and we all have a different sense of the things that are important to us. And it's okay that something is important to you, but it's not important to me, and vice versa. It doesn't, you know, there's no judgment there. It's just that we're all different, and let's celebrate that piece, you know, when the seasons come around. I think that that's important to know and to remember.
Right, definitely. And really consider what value comes up for me as you're doing the things that, or celebrating the holidays that you enjoy, or what's the value in that? Because that's what's going to keep you energized. If we have external motivators because, you know, we want to keep up with trends or we want to throw the best parties, you know, what is the intention behind that, and what core values are you bringing forth to those who you're sharing those things with? Because part of what we're doing these things is to fulfill ourselves and those who we love. So if we're taking away from ourselves to fulfill others, then that's, again, something that we have to look within and see where that motivation is coming from. Because that's going to just deplete you. And we see it all the time. That's why people are so stressed. People get mean at the malls during the holidays. the traffic, people are flipping each other off at the parking lot, you know, and for me, that causes me stress to the point where, you know, I start my shopping in October, so I don't have to deal with the December crowds, you know, and that also brings up another point for me, which I realize that that being a trigger for me, the stress of other people during that time of the year, what I try to do for myself is to plan accordingly. So I try to work my shopping a couple months earlier, and that happens to work tremendously well for me. So just think of what can you do to make the process more easier and less stressful for yourself.
Absolutely. I think that those are great. Those are great kind of like tips of the trade, you know, to have people, you know, really pay attention to what works for them and, you know, and make your plan accordingly, you know, so that it doesn't become stressful. It doesn't become it doesn't create feelings of anxiety and overwhelm, you know, when you're in the midst of trying to get something done. You know, if you plan it out, then it, you know, it has all the benefits of being able to map to your rhythms and your the actions that you want to take and when you want to take them. I just want to remind our callers again for our phone number. Our call-in number is 646-716-9397, and we would love to have you join Veronica and I in our conversation around seasons of life and seasons of change. Just want to take a couple of minutes here to talk about a couple of upcoming shows on the Life Coach Radio Network. Coming up next, later today at 6 p.m., is Frank Talk with David Frank Gomes, and that's, once again, it's on the Life Coach Radio Network. This coming Tuesday, on the network, September 3rd at 8 p.m., is the show Finding Zen in the City with Danielle Mercurio. And then on Thursday, September 5th at 7 p.m., is Walk Your Talk with Leanne Parsons. On our sister station, International Life Coach Radio, you could join holistic health coach Emma Galland on Sunday, September 1st, for her show, The Zenberry Life. So we have a little Zen theme going on this next week or so. And then I'll be on again Wednesday on September 11th on our newest channel. We're launching our third channel, and that's called the Life Coach Chat Channel. And I'll be on September 11th with two new hosts. And I don't know if, Veronica, if you have shows coming up soon.
I do. I will be on the International Network on September 20th. And again on September 27th.
Excellent. Okay. So all our listeners, make sure you call in. And the number is 646-716-9397. And so let's get back into our conversation a little bit. The other thing that I was thinking about is, you know, kind of like, almost like the second half of the title of our episode today, you know, seasons of life, seasons of change. And I started to talk about this a little bit when I mentioned, you know, just kind of like life events that happen for people. And it could be a marriage, it could be a death, you know, in a family or death of a loved one. It could be, you know, a significant birthday or a significant anniversary or any birthday or any anniversary, the birth of a child, moving to a new house or a new apartment, getting a new job, leaving a job, you know, all of those markers that really trigger the best and the worst in our heads about what change means and what change brings up for all of us. I know that just recently I had a friend who passed away, and we're going to have a memorial service for him on Saturday. And it's really, you know, it's not easy to almost like, I don't want to, not in a literal sense, you know, but your life kind of stops a little bit, and your attention really shifts in a way that you were not expecting when something like that happens. And I think the same thing can happen for a lot of different events in people's lives. I think certainly death is the one that kind of catches us short. sometimes, especially when it's something you're not expecting. But even, you know, even somebody who is, you know, having a, you know, a 50th birthday party, there's something about those events in our lives that, excuse me, that really bring up how things are changing. And I wonder if people, sometimes, you know, calling your attention or bothering to be present in the moment when those events are happening or as they're arriving, you know, especially if it's something like a birthday or an anniversary that you're leading up to something. How can we embrace those things, embrace those changes without having it feel like it's that there's always that there could be a heaviness around them or a sense of you know, well, you know, time marching on and, you know, my life is short and, you know, all of those kinds of things that come into people's psyches.
Yeah, I think what comes up for me is definitely reframing your experience around change. And what I mean reframe is, you know, when we think of change, and I think I can speak for a lot of people, what comes up or the meaning that it represents for them is that something's over. That, you know, we're moving on, we're leaving something or someone behind. And, you know, I always think that change is inevitable, but growth is very intentional. And we really have to take that in consideration, that it's not, it doesn't only have to mean the end of something. Obviously, there's a rebirth with everything that happens and ends and change with changes. And again, going back to the mindfulness piece, is just being aware of what's happening for you in the moment and what gifts it's bearing to you at that time. And being able to also reflect on those experiences in a positive way. You know, try to find the positivity in what is actually happening in that moment. And just reframing it. Redefine what change means to you. You know, when I lost a really, really good friend of mine, you know, he passed away two days before his 30th birthday. And it was a huge milestone for us because all of our friends were turning 30, and it was supposed to be a rebirth of ourselves. You know, you're coming of age where you're more independent and you got your stuff together, our careers were done, we were buying houses, a lot of us were getting married. And it really, really hit me hard when I lost him because I felt that it was so unfair, you know, that he had his whole life ahead of him. And how could this happen to someone so amazing like him? You know, and I had to reframe that experience and really take in all the gifts that he gave me while he was here with me. And the lesson that he left behind was to never take anything for granted. You know, and I didn't realize that as I was going through it, you know. But afterwards, I realized doing inventory of me spending, you know, the last 15 years with him, that he never took anything for granted, and he always took advantage of every opportunity. And at least that was the lesson that I learned through that experience. So when people go through trials and tribulations or the loss of a loved one, obviously the grief and the pain is part of our human experience, and you should never deny yourself of that. However, you know, we have to look, as difficult as it is, we really have to look at what the lesson of that is for us. And try to lead with that as opposed to just the grieving and the loss.
Yeah, I think those are great observations, especially the part about, you know, not taking anything for granted. One of the things that it reminds me of is, you know, even in the face of something as tragic as somebody young in 30s, pretty young. Somebody that young, you know, passing away, you know, you could easily start to think of, you know, oh my gosh, just think of all the things, you know, they could have done with their life, you know, it was cut short. But I think a lot of times you know, and especially in your example, Veronica, you know, it seems like he really was intentional about what he wanted to do in the world. And, you know, I think that if we can all, you know, have that perspective that, you know, what we do in the world is beneficial, you know, no matter when we do it, no matter what age we do it at, you know, if we could have that sense of, you know, this is my contribution, this is my purpose, this is why I'm here, and let me move forward with that. I think that is, you know, sometimes that's all it takes, is having that perspective and having that sense. And I think one of the things I think that is I don't want to say difficult for people, but I think that I run into a lot of people who are, you know, trying to bring that kind of sense of life to a work environment. And a lot of times our work environments don't encourage that kind of thinking or that kind of being, almost, that we're asked to kind of just come to work with our heads and not come to work with our heads and our hearts. And I think about the people that I certainly have encountered over the past several years, you know, that have, you know, lost their jobs, and, you know, have only recently, you know, found new employment, or, you know, some I have friends that are still looking after 2 years. And that that whole idea of bringing your best self to whatever environment that you're in, but also being in a work environment where you can learn to navigate changes, because changes happen in work environments as well as in personal lives, and to be able to have those skills and have those reflections that happen to you in your life, and know that there's an application for those in a work environment also, and that doesn't take away from or detract from who you are as a worker or as an employee or as a you know, as a self-employed person, you know, as you kind of make your way in the world as you are with your talents and with your expertise.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that goes back to setting the intention for yourself and obviously consider, you know, the outside sources that might be draining you, and what are the triggers that you have in regards to those outside, you know, influences, and what you can do to re-energize yourself before you go into that workplace where you don't feel very well supported, or when you have to meet with a family member you're thankful you don't get to see other than once a year. What can you do to replenish yourself prior to going into that certain scenario or environment? And that takes some reflection of what's really happening for me or to me as I'm experiencing something negative or even something positive. We try to fix the negative parts before we really consider the good things that are happening to us, because we really want to take that in consideration as well, because those are the things we want to continue to do more. So definitely, you know, set the intention of what you want your experience to be, because regardless of what's happening around you, you have no control over that. And we all understand that cognitively. We understand that we can't control outside sources, but what we can control is our experience. So make the intention of take responsibility of what you want your experience to be, regardless of the circumstance.
I think that's great advice. One of the things that I have done in my life when I have found myself to be, you know, in a work environment that you know, is felt pretty toxic to me and felt pretty negative, is that I would put little post-its up on my mirror, and like you're talking about, you know, kind of like set my intention for the day. You know, today I will be positive and uplifting, or today I will smile at everybody I see. You know, it can be something so small and seem so innocuous, but at the same time, if you're trying to get yourself up and out of your own funk around something that's happening that you, like you said, you know, you have no control over, shifting your thinking and setting a different intention for yourself, for your own outcome that day, even if you have, you know, even while you have no control over external outcomes, can really do wonders. And the other thing that I've noticed too is it really brings, if there's a problem or an issue and you just can't figure it out, or you just can't get to a solution, I have found that setting that intention, no matter how small it is, really begins to shine a different kind of light on a concern or a problem, so that all of a sudden then, you know, the solution is revealed. Have you ever had any experience like that?
Oh, absolutely. Personally and with my practice, you know, with mm-hmm. my three-step process, which is, you know, the first process is to discover, then it's grow and sustain. But through the growth process, even in between that, there is what I call the struggle. And mm-hmm. the struggle really is where all our answers actually lie. And, you know, I've done a lot of research on this, and I see it time and time and time again. And what I invite our listeners to understand is that the struggle portion of our journey is just that. It's part of the journey. And it doesn't mean it's a setback. It doesn't mean that it's a failure. And again, we go back to the reframing of that, you know, and really embrace that part of the journey. Because for you to really have the answers and come out of the other side being a better person, or, you know, eliminating the energy blocks that we might be experiencing, that struggle portion of the journey has to happen. And that is where a lot of the reflection is. And we as a society suppress that part of our lives. And we see it as we have put a negative context to it. And it's a very human experience. And it's there for us. And it serves us. It's not meant for us to remove it or shy away or cut it out of our lives. So if you're going through that struggle part of your life, that is where positive affirmations come in. This is where, obviously, us coaches can really facilitate through this process. Find yourself a community, like you said, through meetup, a meditation group. Find positive outside sources who can help you find the answers that you're looking for. And it doesn't always have to be externally. Sometimes it's the journaling, going back and writing things down and rereading them to see what triggers and what things are causing you to continue to struggle. And if you keep hitting the same roadblock, the first time you're going to get kicked in the stomach. And that's just the universe telling you to pay attention. And if you don't pay attention, the next time it's going to be a slap in the face. And next time you're going to fall in a ditch. And it's going to continue to happen to you and perpetuate constantly until you pay attention to that struggle.
Yeah, I agree with that, Veronica. I think, you know, going back to the, you know, to the journaling piece, if you have some kind of vehicle with which you can look back and reflect on your life, when you come into that struggle piece that I agree with you is so necessary and so important to work through, that you can begin to see, you know, patterns, and you can, you know, you don't have to struggle so hard. If you can begin to recognize those things in your life, you don't have to struggle so hard, you don't have to struggle so long that you know, your reflection and your understanding of yourself could be so helpful as you, you know, there's a facilitation called, you know, the observable self. And you can look, you know, kind of like you're looking at yourself from outside of yourself. And if you can see what's going on and you can start to recognize and say, oh, yeah, I've been in this place before. And I know how to get through it. Employ those tactics that you've used before will be so much more helpful to you in the long run than, you know, kind of staying in the struggle and just struggling to be able to get to, you know, to get to the other side, and also then to get to a place where you have a great life lesson that you can now depend upon in your as you grow, that there's this life lesson that's always going to be available to you, and it's always going to be helpful to you, and it's always going to be, you know, you can hold it in good stead. And I think a lot of times that people do, you know, avoid the struggle because they want to get around it, and getting through the struggle is the piece that helps to identify who you are and how you want to be who you are in, you know, in the world, in your relationships, you know, to others, your relationship to yourself, relationship to you know, the universe. And I think all of that is tremendously important when we're talking about, you know, the different opportunities for growth in change and growth in life.
Absolutely, and I think it's definitely going to affect the last portion of your development as a person, as a human being, which is the sustainability aspect of it. If we don't really try to figure out the struggle and why we've been in that place and what motivates us to continue to recreate the things in our lives that don't serve us, we can't sustain ourselves in a positive way. So to be able to go through the struggle really, really means eliminating all the energy blocks, all the things that keep you from being who you really want to be. And obviously there has to be a contrast to that, and we have to implement those core values that really do feel authentic to you, so that you can maintain the life or lifestyle that you really feel is, you know, that you deserve. So there's a process that needs to happen there. And if you continue to see the same old patterns, that means that you need to go back to that stage of your development or a part of your journey.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think you have mentioned this before in our conversation, that, you know, there are a lot of opportunities for joining other groups and other communities to engage with you to those efforts, and you certainly can, you know, pick up a blank journal and start to write, but definitely, you know, if you feel better in a better exploring some of those things in a group, there's a lot of opportunities for different community events and different meetup events to do that. Certainly, you know, we're on this call because, you know, we're both coaches, and, you know, engaging the expertise of a coach could be a wonderful opportunity for you to really begin to see how you approach change and how you make changes in your life. And engaging in a coaching conversation could be incredibly beneficial if that's something that, you know, you feel drawn to. I also think that there's sometimes we don't give our friends enough credit. You know, just having a casual conversation, you know, on a Friday afternoon after work, you know, with a group of people that we're comfortable with, can bring a lot of insight into something that, you know, we might have been holding, you know, somewhat, you know, privately. And just, you know, being able to say, oh, I'm really struggling with this, or I'm not quite sure how to go about doing something, you know, even just putting that conversation out there in a casual environment could really make spark something in somebody else so that, you know, a response that you weren't expecting can come to you and you could say, oh, gosh, yes, now I get it. Yes, that's exactly what I needed. And that was that can just happen spontaneously in casual conversation. But you have to be willing to kind of put it out there, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'd love to add a little bit more on that because I feel like a lot of us forget that building a community is so important. You know, and every successful person that we all admire, whether they're business people, whether they're actors or actresses, whether they're whatever they are, if they're successful, we admire them. But if you really look into their lives and you dig deep enough, all those people have a successful community supporting them. You know, for instance, for me personally, I'm a coach, but I have a coach. I have a personal coach for myself. I also have friends that I can contact and talk about certain things with that recharge me, energize me. So, you know, find those who do those things for you. You know, I also have a personal trainer who helps me stay fit. You know, I also see a nutritionist from time to time. These are all people in my circle that energize me, that keep me optimal. So don't be afraid to ask for help because the most successful people, look at Oprah, for instance, she's got a trainer, she's got a nutritionist, I'm sure she's got a life coach. You know, she has people supporting her effort. And just because we're not celebrities and we're not Oprah doesn't mean that we don't deserve the same amount of support. So if there's anything that I invite anybody to do today after this call is to sit down and write who your successful community should be, whether it's friends, family, spouse, neighbors, and really figure out who these people are. And tell them, you know, I really would love for you to support me in whatever endeavor it is that you want to do, whether it's lose weight or start working out or eating better, whatever your endeavor is, reach out to these people and say, you know, I really need your help. Can you help me? And you will be surprised how every single person would be more than happy to do so. And that is one way to keep yourself energized, especially if you're going through something that you know there's going to be a struggle portion that you're going to have to deal with as you go through this process. So definitely build a successful community around yourself.
That is a great practical suggestion, Veronica, for all of our listeners, that, you know, build your tribe. You know, identify those people that are necessary for you. I love the way you said that in terms of to keep you optimal. You know, find who those people are, and if you have people already, you know, elicit their support. If there's gaps, find somebody that can help you fill that gap, so that you can stay, you know, optimal and be the best that you want to be in the world. I think that's a great conclusion because it's almost five of the hour and our time is almost up here. Veronica, I just want to give you an opportunity for you to tell the folks how to be able to get in touch with you.
Absolutely. Listeners can get in touch with me at lifeleaderscoaching.com. Also, you can like us at Life Leaders Coaching on Facebook, and you can definitely follow us on Veronica Taylor at The Will to Lead. And thank you so much for having me today, Barb, and I really enjoyed this topic, and I hope all of our listeners have a wonderful and very safe long weekend.
Thanks, Veronica. It has been wonderful having you part of the conversation this afternoon and for co-hosting the show with me. I appreciate your time and your attention to our conversation. To the listeners, I hope you enjoyed the past hour and you gained some insight into your own seasons of life and seasons of change. Once again, I'm Barbara Hetzel, and you can reach me through my website, which is www.ridgetopcoaching.com. That's RIDGETOP coaching.com. and also through email, which is info@ridgetopcoaching.com. And you can also find me on Facebook under Ridgetop Coaching, and I would welcome and look forward to any conversations that our listener would want to have with either myself or Veronica. I will be on the new Life Coach Chat channel again on September 11th, and Veronica will be on again September 20th, right?
Correct.
September 20th, and Veronica is going to be on the Life Coach Radio Network. If you have any feedback for us and want to send a message, you only need to go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network. Underneath the profile picture, you'll see a follow button. Just click follow, and then you can send us a message. So just once again, a recap of some upcoming shows on the Life Coach Radio Network is later today at 6 p.m. is Frank Talk with David Frank Gomes. On Tuesday, September 3rd at 8 p.m. is Finding Zen in the City with Danielle Mercurio. On Thursday, September 5th at 7 p.m. is Walk Your Talk with Leanne Parsons. And on our sister station, International Life Coach Radio, you could join Holistic Health Coach Emma Galland this Sunday, September 1st, for the Zenberry Life. Thank you all for listening, and for Veronica and I, we hope you have a great day and a great holiday Labor Day weekend. Take care. Bye-bye.